from the WGN Skyline Studio.
WGN Radio presents a conversation.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear.
A dialogue.
What are you prepared to do?
An astute debate.
Everything that's in the law.
And a peek behind the curtain of politics.
And then what are you prepared to do?
I think Chicago is not only the center of the country, I think it's the center of the world.
Don't tread on them.
Where did this statement come from?
This is the Sunday Spin. Your host is the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Welcome to this edition of the Sunday Spin for October the 27th, 2019. Yes, the last Sunday of the month of October, and Halloween soon approaches. Welcome to our weekly look at the world of politics and policy as we take you from City Hall to the State House all the way on to the White House. So time to grab that Sunday paper, get that hot cup of coffee, and we'll do our best to get your week off to a good start. Well, I got to tell you, after that deluge yesterday, that actually seemed like Halloween weather that
it
I remember as a
did.
Kid.
All we needed was a little thunder, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To scare you. But yeah, absolutely. The rain was very, very steady, and the wind was really whipping things around. It held off, though, for us yesterday morning, Andy and
yes,
Dean
it
and myself.
Congratulations for beating the rain.
We had a wonderful morning, and we're very, very pleased to be part of the Walk to End Alzheimer's that took place yesterday at Soldier Field and walked up along the lakefront. That was a little chilly and
yes,
windy.
It was.
up to Balbo and then back around to Soldier Field. There had to, how many would you say there yesterday, Andy? At least 5,000 to 10,000?
Easily. Yeah. I think it might have been more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Not only that, our Sunday morning team doubled the amount of contributions that we had set our goal for. So thank you all.
Yeah, thanks
for
to the listeners
that.
For doing that, too.
Perfect. Perfect. So glad to hear that. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So I got to ask, you got your Halloween costumes picked out?
No. Mine doesn't fit anymore.
What was it?
Oh, let's see. It was either Popeye or Mickey Mouse.
You know, I think, actually, I think,
what's the matter, Andy?
I can't picture you in either of those.
Oh, I can picture Dave in a Popeye costume. I can.
Because he is what he is.
I am what I am.
Eat a big can of spinach.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't pull that off because I don't like spinach.
One more quick item weather-wise,
sure.
Rick, since we've been talking about the rain and everything. We do have flood warnings posted for Cook County today. It runs until 7 o'clock this evening for Cook, DeKalb, and DuPage counties. However, the flood warning continues until further notice, as they say, for really a large part of the listening area north and northeast Illinois. Will County, Kankakee, Kendall, Lake Counties, Kane County, all of those flood warnings, Grundy County in effect until further notice. So with all the rain,
a lot of water
around there, you know, there's a very good reason why this flood warning is in effect.
But the skies are clearing.
Yeah, we're going to have a nice sunrise here.
And
finally.
Yeah. It was awfully
just saying.
It was awfully dark this morning.
Just saying.
You know?
It was.
But and sunny skies for the Bears at Soldier Field today.
Yeah. Will the skies be sunny?
Skies. Sunny
yeah.
skies.
Will the yes. skies be sunny on the field? That's what I want to know.
Does anybody know?
No. Yeah, it's been an interesting start to the year, especially with the fact you have an offensive-minded coach that can't seem to figure out what's wrong with the offense. That's kind of scary. I don't know how much that scares everybody else. It kind of scares me a little bit. Yeah, I was looking through the numbers yesterday, and I know that Hamp will be and Kaz will get more into this after the game today at 3 o'clock. But the Bears' rushing attack is not really much of an attack. It's 28th in the National Football League.
Ugh.
Their overall total offense is 29th. There's only two teams worse than the Bears on offense. And it's affecting the defense because the defense is on the field so
right,
much.
Right, right.
They have no chance whatsoever to rest. And I tell you what, they probably feel like they have to score in order for the team to win.
Which is a bad feeling.
Very bad.
I will say, after watching the Jets' performance against New England on Monday night, at least it's nice to see there is somebody worse than our offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's pathetic. I mean, with that the poor quarterback, just leave him out there. Adam Gase, the former Bears offensive coordinator, the head coach down there, and Sam Darnold just was in there and was throwing pick after pick after pick.
Four interceptions.
Yeah. And none of them were good throws.
A fumble and a safety.
Yeah. So other than that, how did you enjoy the night?
Yeah, right. I mean, but, oh, I'm just fretting about what this fall and winter is going to be like with the Bears.
No, I hear you.
The Blackhawks. It was hard to take the 4-1 Philly loss.
Correct.
Because they admitted they played
terribly,
like garbage.
Yep.
And so then it's like, okay, let's get out of Dodge. Let's get out of home. New scenery, new surroundings. Let's go down to Raleigh. And then they choke up a 4-0 game.
Yeah, and you know, you hate to start thinking about excuse making because you know you don't want to make it, but you know, and it affected Philadelphia as well. I think a little bit at the beginning with the trip to Prague and with all the hoopla that surrounded the global series and things of that nature. And then the schedule was kind of odd, especially at the beginning of the year. You had so much time off, and now you have back to a more of a normal type of an NHL schedule where you're playing pretty much every other day, if not every day, back to back. And I just, they seem out of sorts. It just seems like the units are not cohesive at this point, and that Jeremy Colleton is kind of searching for some combinations that are going to work and that are going to provide some offense and some stability with the way they skate. And you know, it's easy to point fingers at, oh well, the goaltending. Well, you know, you got to have some defense in front of you. I mean, we saw that all last year. It's hard to blame the goaltenders when you can't clear the puck after 3 or 4 minutes, you know? you got tired guys out there.
You know, the game against the Caps that they lost 2-1 in the shootout, and, you know, here's a game that they were basically winning 1-0 for 18 and a half minutes until Washington pulled the goalie and scored the tie. But Robin Lehner was great.
Yeah.
And I've said if they had won that game 1-0, that was purely a goalie victory.
It would have been. You're right. And, you know, I still think you can call it a goalie game because, you know, he was fantastic in that game. And you know, the thing that is really frustrating, I think, to a lot of fans, including me, listening to the game and just sitting on my couch going, shoot the puck on the yes. power play because...
What power play?
And that's what I mean. It's because there's so many fancy passing and fancy passes here and... You know, and I know that's worked for them in the past. It didn't work last year. The group is a little bit different this year, but, you know, the main thing, and I hear Troy Murray say it, I hear Eddie Olczyk say it, good things happen when you put the puck toward the net. So put the puck toward the net.
All right, so the Blackhawks now rank 28th in the NHL in offense,
mm-hmm.
19th in defense, 26th on the power play, 28th on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
And 21st in scoring chance ratio.
Yeah, I mean,
what more do you need to hear?
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't. And you know, you look at the teams that are toward the top of their divisions and the teams that are in the playoffs constantly. And you know, the way that the Blackhawks played in 10 and 13 and 15, you're leading the way in power play goals. You're leading the way in penalty kill. It's all about special teams in the NHL. I mean, yeah, 5-on-5 matters. It does. It really does matter. But the games are usually won and lost. And what you do when you're down a man or when you're up a man. And it just hasn't really kind of clicked yet for this group. And for whatever reason, there's a lot of talent on this team. I mean, there's still a lot of talent that still has legs left in it. You know, with Jonathan Toews and with Patrick Kane, you've got younger guys that are starting to establish themselves a little bit more. You know, I told you before we went on the air, and I said this last night on the beat with Scott King. I said... There's two players to me that have been the only two players that have been consistent. Now, I'm talking about skaters. I'm not talking about goaltenders here. But David Kampf and Brandon Saad, they have been far and away head and shoulders above everybody else that has played so far this year.
Yeah, it's...
But that's not enough.
No, and as you said, there is so much talent there. But when you see this kind of lackadaisical play in your own end and failure to clear pucks...
Yep.
Failure to make crisp passes, just kind of leaving a puck hanging there that the other team can come in and pick up in your own end.
Mm-hmm.
It's exasperating.
It is. And I think what happens now, and what will happen, I think, towards the as we get going here in the season. I mean, it's still early, and I know everybody hates to hear that, but it is. I mean, and you know, this was the first year for Colleton in the off season having his own stuff put in. I mean, they learned on the fly last year. There was a lot more reacting than thinking last year because you didn't have time to really grasp it. You just kind of had to go out there and do it. I think there's a little more thinking going on now than rather reacting and playing. And I think that will kind of evolve into, you know, what we saw towards the end of last year when they were playing good hockey. And there's some new faces, yeah. I mean, it might take a little time for them to start to realize what each player brings. And you hope that the leadership in that dressing room is addressing things, and I think they're all accountable for it. And I think they're the better days ahead.
Well, I know you say it's early, yeah. and I agree.
Hate saying that, but it's true.
Okay, but so today will be the 10th game.
Correct.
Okay, and
so you're about an eighth of the way through the season.
You always want to try to have more points than games played.
Very true.
And they have 6 points.
They have six.
In 9 games.
Yeah, the Kings that they're playing tonight have 8.
I understand.
So I'm just saying it's a chance to get healthy is what I'm getting at. And they need, in the last couple of years, the Blackhawks have not been the dominant team at home that we've seen over the past few years. So that's something that, to me, needs to be addressed quickly because, you know, you had this 7-game homestand and you got 2 wins. And that was it. I mean, you had an opportunity right there in front of you after you get home from overseas. And it just didn't materialize. Again, though, I think there's enough leadership in that room to get things straightened out. Jeremy Colleton's got that nice, even, easy approach to him. But, you know, inside that locker room, he's a different guy than we're seeing in the media.
Right. And, I mean, as he said after the Philadelphia game, he was asked about, you know, line switches and whatever. And he said, really, you know, that's not a big deal.
No.
But then... turns around in Carolina and, you know, started shuffling guys around. Something's got to change.
Yeah, he's looking for combos. I mean, that's a plain and simple fact. And yeah, I mean, it's much to do like with the baseball lineup. You know, that baseball lineup is that lineup intact one time. You know what I mean? You get your leadoff guy leading off the game one time. And then it just kind of has to play itself out with guys doing what they're supposed to do within situations. Kind of the same thing with hockey. I mean, you're paired with a guy. You got to know what his skill set is. You got to know what makes him good. You got to know what makes him a little suspect and maybe cover for that. So I think guys are trying to learn how to play with each other at that point on the various lines. And as you see during a game, I mean, they change all the time anyway. I mean, he'll mix things up. Maybe double shift Kane. So it's not all about that. But yeah, he's still searching for some combos.
Well, we will just wait.
Have faith.
And see.
Have faith.
Yes, well,
I know you do.
I do.
I know you do.
I mean, I didn't even put on my sweater today.
You didn't, but you have a hat. That's good.
I'm trying to shake up my lineup a little bit too. Like them.
Whatever it takes.
And of course, we got Rossi as manager now on the other side.
Kind of an interesting hire to me. You know, he was kind of the candidate all along, and I think I mentioned to you few weeks ago it was kind of an insight into how much analytics and how much this front office may be involved in the day-to-day operations, the day-to-day lineups, the day-to-day management of this ball club. Because if you hire a guy like Joe Girardi or an established manager, you're not going to have that influence because these guys are good on their own merits and have a great track record. But of course Ross does not, as a guy is well liked, obviously. And I think the biggest question that will be answered probably in the press conference tomorrow is, you were a teammate of these guys. You were friends with them. You were a teammate, and now you're going to be their boss. How's that going to work?
Yeah. I mean, and we've talked about that you know, before. I mean, that I think is the big question. Yeah. And, things have got to change on the north side as well.
Yeah. And then the White Sox fans are just sitting on the edge of their seat in anticipation of what's going to happen in this offseason. And rightfully so. I mean, this is kind of an exciting time to be a White Sox fan.
Hot stove league.
Love the hot stove.
Yes, indeed. And it felt especially good in the rain yesterday.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Well, Dave's here to keep us up to date on all the news. Andy's here with the latest sports. Producer Casera's here to field your phone calls. We're at 312-981-7200. You can also text us at 312-981-7200. We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheSundaySpin, on Twitter, @SundaySpin. And Engineer Bob is not wearing a fright mask. It's just the way he looks on Sunday mornings. Remember, you can find all of our shows on WGNRadio.com. You can also get our podcast at iTunes by searching for my name, Rick Pearson. We're going to take a quick break on this Sunday morning. This is The Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Up ahead on your Sunday Spin, after the 7:30 news and sports, we'll be joined by State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch. He is a Democrat from Hillside and the chairman of the Illinois House Executive Committee. And we'll talk to him about his legislation patterned after California that will allow college athletes to be compensated for endorsements. And we'll talk about the veto session as well. After the 8 o'clock news, we'll be speaking to Governor J.B. Pritzker about the veto session. And then after the 8:30 news, we'll be speaking to Jim Durkin, the Illinois House Republican leader. That's all up ahead. Time for a quick break on the Sunday Spin.
This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate WGN Skyline Studio. You didn't hear that. WGN Skyline Studio. Sorry, old habits. Time to spin through our last week in national politics. And of course, we begin with President Trump and impeachment. Interesting story in the Washington Examiner that John Kelly, as he was leaving as White House chief of staff, warned the president not to hire a yes man. Quote, I said, whatever you do, whatever you do, don't hire a yes man, someone who won't tell you the truth. Don't do that, because if you do, I believe you will be impeached. That is what John Kelly, the former chief of staff, said, which was very interesting because it prompted Stephanie Grisham, the White House press secretary, to respond, saying, I worked with John Kelly, and he was totally unequipped to handle the genius of our great president. That is the White House press secretary. You have the issue of Republicans that in the House who basically tried to break into the hearings of the House Intelligence Committee. The president also raising some warning signs on Friday. He said impeachment could lead to a great economic depression.
This was the worst hoax in the history of our country. And a lot of people say that the phony deal on impeachment, where I have a perfect conversation, perfect, with the president of Ukraine, and they're using that to impeach one of the most successful presidents. We're going to hit another stock market high. We have the best jobs reports. We have the best unemployment numbers. We have the best employment. More people working today in the United States than ever before. I've rebuilt the military. We're strong. We just did a great thing in Syria where we're getting our troops out. We took over oil. A lot of great things are happening in this country. I will say this. If anything ever happened with this phony witch hunt that the Democrats are doing, the do-nothing Democrats, I really believe that you'd have a recession depression, the likes of which this country hasn't seen.
So there's your warning shot on that one. That's where things are starting as impeachment proceedings continue on Capitol Hill, the impeachment inquiry. We're going to bring things closer to home now, and joining me on the phone is State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch. He's a Democrat from Hillside, and he's chairman of the House Executive Committee. Representative, thank you for joining me this morning.
Rick, my pleasure. Always honored to get up early for you.
I appreciate that. And with being chairman of the House Executive Committee, I know most people really, you know, they don't know the nitty-gritty of the General Assembly, but that's the hot seat. That's the heater seat. That's the committee where all of the big issues come through.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective. It's a great committee.
What, am I wrong?
It could get interesting every now and then.
It certainly does. It certainly does. And of course, tomorrow is the start of the General Assembly's fall veto session, only scheduled to be 6 days, but there's a full plate ahead.
Yeah, I definitely think it'll be 6 days to watch. You don't know what's going to come out of it, but hey, in May, we didn't know what was going to come out of the General Assembly in May, and it turned out to be epic. It was historical.
In mid-May, we didn't know what was going to happen at the end of May.
Exactly. So, anytime the General Assembly gets together, anything can happen. And so it's going to be 6 days that I think folks need to pay attention to. A lot of great things are floating around, and anything can happen.
Well, let's talk about one thing you'd like to happen, and that's the legislation that you have that kind of follows along with the new state law in California about allowing college athletes to make money from endorsement deals.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this proposal, House Bill 3904, the Student Athlete Endorsement Act. It is identical to the bill that Governor Newsom signed into law in California on September 30th. In fact, I filed it the same day he signed the California bill intentionally, because I just think it's that important for Illinois to follow suit quickly. But it's all about athletes being able to profit off their own name, their own likeness, and their own image. And it's fair and it's equitable. That's the right thing to do.
Is it a matter of kind of a basic unfairness that NCAA and teams are kind of capitalizing on these personalities?
Rick, the NCAA makes about $1 billion a year just off the Final Four. $1 billion a year. They've got a $10.8 billion contract with CBS Sports that they signed back in 2010. These coaches, athletic directors, the commissioners, they make millions of dollars. The students, nothing. And what the thing that came to my mind immediately when Governor Newsom signed that bill into law was the great run by the Loyola Ramblers in 2018. You saw that those kids' images everywhere. Everywhere. You even saw Sister Jean, who got a bobblehead out of the deal. Coach Moser got a multi-million-dollar contract out of the deal. But those students whose names, likenesses, and images were all around downtown Chicago and all over the country for a period of time, they got nothing out of the deal. The University of Loyola made, I think, in excess of $300 million off of their merchandising.
Well, and obviously, the world of sports has changed so greatly that, at first the argument was always, well, most of these student athletes, they're getting tuition, they're getting a degree, the value of a degree at no cost, that was the compensation factor.
Well, I think those are the folks that confuse the issue. This is not a pay-to-play bill. This is not give every athlete who's a college athlete a salary. This is allow athletes to profit off their own name, their own likeness, and their own image, just like you would if you tried to sign an endorsement deal. You'd get to profit off your own name, likeness, and image. It's the right thing to do. And they'd only get paid if they were able to sign these deals. The universities are making money off of these students. You go to a Northwestern game yesterday, and there's jerseys on the fans with the names of students. The universities made money off those jerseys. But the student whose name is on that has made nothing. And that's not fair. And that's why I say it's a matter of fairness and equity. Another reason it's about fairness and equity is Northwestern has one of the greatest music schools out there. When I was at Northwestern playing baseball, I had friends who were in the music school on scholarship. They could go Rogers Park on weekends or in Evanston on weekends and play in a bar, make some side money, and they wouldn't lose their scholarship. Why would the student athlete lose their scholarship if they made money doing something on the side? Don't think it's fair. I don't think it's equitable. And that's what this law changes.
And sorry about the Wildcats yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, they're having a rough season. I was listening to your sports segment, and it's tough being a Chicago fan right now.
Yes, it is. In fact, Doc Emmerich sent me a text during the break saying that the old adage is you can't judge a horse race by the first eighth, but you can certainly lose one by the first eighth. So
that's sure.
That's so. How are you planning on moving this during veto session?
Well, it's up on Tuesday morning. It's up on Tuesday morning at 8:30 a.m. in the House Higher Education Appropriations Committee. I've been counting the votes on the committee, and it looks like we have the votes to get it out and hopefully on the floor by Tuesday afternoon. I'm hoping that we can then get this thing over to the Senate for the second week of veto session and on the desk of Governor Pritzker, who I'm hoping will sign this so that we keep Illinois on par with California. If I'm a coach in California on September 30th, I woke up with an amazing recruiting advantage. The Pac-12 and all of those colleges and universities in that state, the coaches can go into a living room and say, you need to come here, and here's why. And I start out with the Fair Play to Play Act that the governor signed there. And so Illinois needs to be able to stay competitive with a big state like California. And I know Governor Pritzker's been doing this homework and is studying this issue, and I certainly hope he comes out in strong support of this just to keep Illinois on par with California to begin with.
Well, we'll check in with him after the 8 o'clock hour on this bill. If that's your pitch to him.
That's my pitch.
All right, fair enough. We're speaking with State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside, Chairman of the House Executive Committee. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and joining me on the phone, State Representative Chris Welch from Hillside. He is chairman of the House Executive Committee. He's also the sponsor of legislation that would allow college athletes in Illinois to make money from their endorsement. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess he is cut away here, so we'll try and reach back out to him if possible. Back to Representative Welch, because this is kind of an interesting concept here. California is doing it, and as the representative said, this is kind of a method for perhaps helping in recruitment. And in fact, one of our texters said that wouldn't this bill give a big advantage to major market schools as far as recruitment? And that's certainly kind of a major significant issue. Does that affect how maybe Chicago area schools in a bigger market, would they be at an advantage in recruiting given the ability for endorsements and the market area itself, the economics of the market versus perhaps more traditional college towns like University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana or Illinois State in Bloomington-Normal. So that's kind of a interesting factor to work with. We're going to switch now over to talk about some national politics, and we'll go back to our talk on our spin through national politics. And you know, last week we saw the testimony of Trump and the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Bill Taylor, speaking before that House Intelligence Committee. Taylor laid out the quid pro quo of a Ukraine investigation into Joe Biden's son in exchange for U.S. military aid. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat, said Taylor's testimony helped make the case for impeachment.
You can't impeach a president because you disagree with his or her policy. But this is beyond a policy disagreement. This is a president who has compromised our nation's integrity and our credibility, who has put in jeopardy the safety of our citizens, especially with the disclosures this week as ISIS breaks out of detainment and looks to regroup to threaten American again from Syria. Now listen, the corruption detailed in Ambassador Bill Taylor's chilling and brave testimony yesterday, it cannot be allowed in a democracy. Our refusal to accept this kind of behavior, it is what separates us from all of the tin pot dictatorships around the world.
That's Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy. Asked on Friday, as he waited to board Marine One, about Bill Taylor's testimony, and that he was, in fact, Bill Taylor was Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's pick for ambassador, here's what President Trump had to say for reporters, as well as putting in a dig at CNN.
Here's the problem.
Are you calling him a liar?
Here's the problem. He's a never-Trumper, and his lawyer's a never-Trumper. And the other problem
Pompeo,
is...
Why did Mike Pompeo hire him?
Hey, everybody makes mistakes. Mike Pompeo, everybody makes mistakes.
Do you want him out now?
He's a never-Trumper. His lawyer's the head of the never-Trumpers. They're a dying breed, but they're still there. And here's the other problem. You're with CNN, and you're fake news.
Yep. You're with CNN, it's fake news. And truly, people are kind of asking where this evidence of Bill Taylor being a never-Trumper came from. No one quite understands the president's reference there. And in fact, Bill Taylor was an ambassador to Ukraine under George W. Bush. So you have that. Last week, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, one of the impeachment investigative committees, Elijah Cummings was laid to rest. Cummings died October 17th. He was known as a powerful figure, not only in the halls of the Capitol, but also back in his native Baltimore. At his funeral, former President Barack Obama eulogized him and made a perhaps not so subtle dig at President Trump.
And I was thinking I'd want my daughters to know how much I love them, but I'd also want them to know that being a strong man includes being kind. That there's nothing weak about kindness and compassion. There's nothing weak about looking out for others. There's nothing weak about being honorable. You're not a sucker to have integrity and to treat others with respect.
That's President Barack Obama at the eulogizing Elijah Cummings. It's just been such a crazy week in Washington. And then, of course, you know, tomorrow we've got Donald Trump coming to have a fundraiser at Trump Tower, as well as speak to the International Association of Chiefs of Police, which I've got a story in Sunday's paper about it. I'll have another one tomorrow about it. Kind of an interesting chance after all the things that the president has said about Chicago from afar, including even some criticism from Seoul, South Korea, of all places, when he was there, about Chicago. Now he gets a chance to deliver that criticism up front and in person. And we'll all be waiting to see what he has to say when he attends the Chiefs of Police Convention at McCormick Place tomorrow. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.
Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's The Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio. Joining me on the phone is Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. Governor, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Looked like you had an enjoyable time at the mansion for the Halloween party last night.
We did. We invited children and their parents from the Springfield area, really from anywhere, and we handed out candy, and, you know, we had the First Lady and I dressed up. She came as Princess Leia, and I came as a Jedi, and the kids were better dressed even than we are, and were dressed up as everything from It in the movie to superheroes. So it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. The only thing that hampered it a little bit was some rain, and it was a little bit cold out, but they braved it, came, and we had a great time.
You plan on using the lightsaber during the veto session?
Oh, you know you'll need it.
Well, I thank you for coming on. I thought it would be a good time to have you on with the start of the veto session tomorrow. You had a chance to see what Mayor Lightfoot's wants are as she tries to put together the city budget. And one of the things being a graduated real estate transfer tax. And I'm not sure what the appetite is in Springfield for that.
Well, I'm happy to be working with the mayor, as I am with all the mayors from around the state, to try to help them deal with local budgets and to help them alleviate some pressure on their local property taxes. And so, you know, the mayor, of course, has put her budget forward, and a piece of it, she has asked for the right to impose this graduated real estate transfer tax. And so I'm going to work with the legislature. I want to encourage them to be helpful to her, as I will to the other mayors around the state with their needs. And, you know, we'll see where we get to. I'm hopeful that we can get some bipartisan support for both of her proposals. And I'm, you know, as you know, I'm pleased to work across the aisle with Republicans and Democrats to try and get something done so that we can, you know, make it easier for cities to do their job.
Well, and I know, you know, one thing that's straining budgets all over the state for municipalities is the issue of first responder pension funds. And you had a task force that came out and proposed combining these more than, what is it, 600 different pension, individual pension funds from across the state into one for police, one for fire. And we've had Brad Cole from the Municipal League on the show before talking about with kind of merging those funds together, less duplication for cost, as well as the prospect of having a greater rate of return based on a greater investment base.
That's right, and this is a great move forward. If we can get this passed, this will help our pension funds to shore up, to alleviate some of the property tax burden on people across the state, and make sure that we're paying the pensions that are owed to our police and firefighters. You know, combining 650 pension plans, their investment dollars, allows those funds to get greater returns on their investment. And that's a hugely important thing, again, because then you're not turning to the taxpayers to try to make up for those dollars. And that's what's happening today. You know, the pension funds as a whole, those 650 pension funds, individually, when you put their returns together, they're performing at about 2% below what the IMRF, the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, is performing at, and you know, varying degrees of, you know, 1.5% or 1.25% below the other pension funds that the state has. And so if we can just fix that problem, that would be an enormous benefit to taxpayers, again, and to the retirees. Add to that that the task force that I put together that came up with this plan also worked hard to address one of the problems within that pension, those pension plans, and that's the tier two recipients. That's the new retirement plan for people who join those pension funds later. That there's a technical problem in them that will require shoring up, and we had to, you know, improve the benefits to make sure that they're greater than the amount of Social Security that people will receive. And they went into a room and worked hard to try to solve that problem too, and they did. And so collectively, that really doesn't cost very much within the context of this plan. But think of this. This is $15 billion of pension investments collectively across those 650 plans. And that $15 billion can have $12 billion added to it over the next 20 years because of consolidation and better investment returns. That's a big deal. And that's something very important for us to move on. We should get this done. I'd like to get it done in veto session, and I'm working hard for that.
We're speaking with Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois. We're talking about the veto session of the General Assembly, which starts on Monday. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune. Joining me on the phone is Governor J.B. Pritzker. We're talking about the start of the fall veto session on Monday, and we've been talking about the proposal that would combine pension funds, police one fund, fire separate fund, but have it as statewide funds in an effort to improve the rate of return and provide some cost savings. Governor, just a couple of quick questions that have been raised on the text line about that is, one, a suburban police officer says their pension fund has been fully funded because they put all the money in and managed it. Why should we give our money to those who haven't done that?
Well, I think there's a misunderstanding there. They wouldn't be giving their money to those who don't have it. The consolidation here is merely for investment purposes. It has nothing to do with shoring up any other city's funds. So essentially, you know, think of them as separate accounts that each city would have. Those monies would be collected up and invested with money managers, the best money managers in the country. And they would earn returns on them at a higher rate than they're currently earning on them. And all of the money that belongs to his city's pension fund would go back to the police in his city and back to the firefighters in his city. So there's nothing here that takes away the control of the dollars. It's simply trying to get better investment returns for him and for the taxpayers of his city.
I want to ask you about a couple of other things with veto session. Well, one, I had Representative Chris Walch on the show previously talking about this NCAA bill, the bill that would allow student athletes to receive, be paid for endorsements that they do. I was wondering if he made a pitch to you on the air. What do you think of this?
I think his bill is a really good first step, and I'm going to work with him to try to protect our college athletes. As you know, student athletes are the backbone of the college sports industry, and they deserve the same opportunity as everyone else to earn compensation based on the use of their name and their image and their likeness. The bill that he put forward, I think, rightly aligns it us with California so that the effective date wouldn't be until 2023, because I think we all believe that there ought to be a national approach to this. And so there's time in here to, you know, develop that national approach and make sure there's a federal law. But if there's not, you know, we just think it's right that the name and image and likeness of student athletes belong to them, and they should have the right to to earn dollars based on that.
A lot of talk about the issues on vaping and controlling that. What are we going to see, if any action on that, do you think?
Well, this is a really important issue, and I know that there's been some confusion out there about what's going on with vaping. First of all, there are two things I think people haven't paid a lot of attention to separating. One of them is that we've had these terrible deaths and illnesses that have developed, and they're taking place all over the country. And they have been mostly associated with the use of illegal THC cartridges, marijuana cartridges, as well as THC oil. And those are illegally obtained, they're illegally manufactured, and that is mostly what is causing the illnesses and deaths that we've seen. I've been working closely with our Department of Health leader, that's Dr. Ezeke, and she's doing a terrific job in collecting the data and making sure we understand what's happening and how it's happening, and also what the unusual other circumstances are that don't seem to have something to do with THC, though those are very few. The THC deaths from illegal use of illegal THC are causing about 84% of all of those illnesses and deaths. The other issue is the one that there's a bill by Representative Conroy about, and that's the flavored vaping products that are about nicotine. And, you know, you remember a number of years ago that the public discussion about Joe Camel and the attraction to cigarette smoking that was, you know, the major companies were attempting. Well, we want to try to address this issue with vaping, which is a new industry. You know, when you've got flavors like bubblegum and mango, things that really there's no taste of cigarettes, as I understand, in these things at all, and yet you're ingesting nicotine, it's attracting people into using nicotine that shouldn't, and that's, you know, our children. So I think it's appropriate for us to look at what to do here. You know, I support banning the flavors that attract children to vaping. And I look forward to working with the legislature, with Representative Conroy, with Senator Cullerton, that's John Cullerton, to make sure that we are coming up with the best solution to protect our kids.
One thing I didn't touch on as far as something that the mayor wants is the issue of a change in the tax structure of the casino gaming language. The gaming board had a consultant study that said that it wouldn't necessarily be marketable. I've been curious why not just put out for RFPs, request for proposals, and see what the marketplace bears on this. But she didn't build any casino money into her budget. I'm not sure. Is this something that can be looked at over that 6-day period and something be accomplished?
Well, she didn't build it into her budget because there wouldn't be any revenue, even if we were able to get this passed. There wouldn't be any revenue in this budget year for her, or very little anyway, if at all. And remember that she intends to have these casino dollars dedicated to paying the pensions that Chicago has. So, you know, I do think that there will be a lot of discussion, and there is a bill, I gather, that's being put together. You know, my team has been working with the city and working with the caucuses to try to come up with something that would be helpful to the mayor. The mayor's put forward the basis, the backbone of those ideas. So, I think there's, there is some
movement,
desire to try to be helpful to her in this. And I think I'm going to encourage our legislators to help her.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker, governor of the state of Illinois. Governor, thank you so much for your time this morning. We'll be talking to you in Springfield this week.
Rick, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, enjoying a bit of sunshine over Lake Michigan and the Chicago River, and here in the WGN Skyline studio. Joining me here is State Representative Jim Durkin from Western Springs. He is the Illinois House Republican leader. Leader Durkin, welcome to the show.
Rick, it's great to be here. It looks great on the lake. Hopefully it's a good sign for our beloved Chicago Bears to get their act together.
Don't even take me there. Although I do admit, I think I had some personal joy in the fact that any San Diego Chargers fans that came to the city yesterday, I bet they weren't well prepared or well dressed for that.
North Face on, and maybe they're muff, wearing their mittens and having a
not exactly San Diego type weather in Chicago yesterday.
No, but it's good bear weather, as they say, right?
Exactly.
As Mike Dick would say, it's good bear weather. So, yeah,
well,
all good.
Speaking of bearing down, as we've been talking about on the show this morning, it's the eve of the fall veto session in Springfield. A number of issues, as always, even though it's technically supposed to deal just with vetoes, and frankly, there aren't really any vetoes to deal with. But it's also an opportunity for a number of new issues. And I guess top of the list, since the mayor delivered her budget address last week, she's looking for help from Springfield for one, permission for the council to enact a graduated rate proper real estate transfer tax.
Correct.
It sounds like a heavy lift, and my understanding is she's been encouraged to reach out to your side of the aisle, that if there's something to help Chicago, then there ought to be something to perhaps help the suburbs or downstate.
That's accurate. I've talked to the mayor a few times, and I met with her personally about a week and a half ago. I indicated to her that the issue regarding passing a legislation, getting Republican support for this graduated real estate transfer tax, is not something that my caucus would be supportive of. And, you know, we're coming off of a pretty aggressive session. We made some tough decisions. And I don't feel that we're in a position to support that proposal right now in the veto session. I don't see any, I'll listen to things down the road, but right now our caucus is going to allow the Democrats to take the initiative, since they have the supermajority. They can take the reins on this one. There is another issue, and I think that I told the mayor that I'm open to working with her on it. This is going to be regarding the tax rate for the casino in Chicago. So those are two things that we talked about. One, we're just not going to be supportive of. We can't get there. Other one, I'm keeping an open mind. You know what? I want to help Chicago, but I have to be fair to the caucus. And, you know, we're coming off, as I said earlier, a pretty aggressive session down in Springfield.
But what is the harm of merely voting to authorize the Chicago City Council to enact?
I know how the City Council of Chicago will act, and they will take it up. And you know what? I think it's, again, there's a
You don't want to wear the jacket.
I'm not going to wear the jacket, but there are certainly issues that define Republicans versus Democrats. And I look at this as an issue that is clearly a Democrat issue. This is clearly has their name and their DNA all over it, and I'm going to let them manage it. And we don't have any members from the city of Chicago. I want to be supportive. It's even more difficult when a great portion of my caucus lives south of I-80 and even further south than Springfield, Illinois.
Is there something that could be offered in exchange?
Well, you know what?
In the great tradition of legislative deal making
in the log rolling,
so in the log rolling, yes.
You know, I'll keep my one good ear open down the road. So, but I think just for purposes of this veto session, I just want to caution people on veto sessions. They're the most overrated times of the year.
They
for the
tend to fail to meet expectations.
Oh my gosh, do they every year? So, but you know what? I want to help the city of Chicago where I think I can help. And I've done this in the past with Mayor Emanuel on a number of issues relating to reforms. If we want to talk about reforms, you know, we're very much that will help reduce costs. We're very much interested in, and I did that with the mayor of Chicago on a number of issues. Previous Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Since we had the governor endorse Chris Welch's NCAA bill basically today, do you have any feelings on that?
You know what? I just have this problem with the commercialization of undergraduate and, you know, collegiate sports. I still believe in the concept, even though it seems to be waning, of the scholar athlete. And I think it's a bad idea. I'm not going to support it. Anything that starts from the state of California is usually a no-go for me. We shouldn't.
Oh, no Gavin Newsom fan, are you, huh?
Oh, I mean, you know, it's just one thing after another coming from them, and then we're looking at California as being this microcosm of great ideas. It just doesn't work for me, and I don't think our caucus should be supportive of it. It's a huge, huge leap, and I need to talk to university presidents. I'm coming out of the gate saying, no, this is not the right thing to do. It's changing the way in which we've looked at collegiate athletics for decades and decades and decades. And I just, you know, I read it and I just shook my head. But I know that Representative Welch has played baseball at Northwestern, and he's a thoughtful person. We just are not going to agree on that one.
A lot of talk about vaping issues in Springfield, and certainly a very heavily lobbied issue.
Correct.
Do you see anything advancing as far as restrictions on that?
I think that there should be some restrictions, but we have to be, let's look back and see what we've done over the past year. I mean, we made Tobacco 21 the law of Illinois. that should put at least significant restrictions on access, at least from within our powers, on the ability for individuals to get access, young kids, people under 21 to get access to vaping products and also cigarettes. But I'm kind of confused because those who are supporting this vaping ban and additional work on vaping are the ones that were ones that supported recreational marijuana in Illinois. So I see I'm kind of trying to reconcile that, and I'm not having any luck with it. I think there's a lot of negotiation going on between both sides, but I know that the president and the Senate seem to be a little more aggressive on the issue than the House. I'd like to see exactly what the final product is, but I do know that a lot of the illnesses and people who have had tragedies have come from, the vaping have come from adulterated types of products in which marijuana or other, whether fentanyl or other things have gotten into the into that fluid or whatever they use to in that vaping process. So let's just make sure that we're doing the right thing. And like, I don't like this stuff. I don't like seeing, you know, candy labeled vaping products no more than anybody else. But again, let's go back to what we did. I supported Tobacco 21.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see that there is the people who are saying we need to make changes in vaping are the same ones that said that let's put gummy bears, let's make sure they have THC and they have, you know, gummy bears and chocolates that are going to be on the counters of their homes and anywhere else within reach of a young child. Again, I'm trying to reconcile what I think is the right thing to do, and I see some conflict at that point. So, I wouldn't get overly excited that we're going to get anything done within that very limited time in Springfield, which I think may be more limited than
what's on the schedule.
Yes, and they tend to be, as I said earlier, they're overrated, but they also, we generally don't fill out the whole schedule when we're down there. We're usually down there for a couple days.
We're speaking with State Representative Jim Durkin. He is the Illinois House Republican leader from Western Springs. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me here in the WGN Skyline studio is Illinois House Republican Leader Jim Durkin from Western Springs. Leader Durkin had the governor on previously. He appears to be placing pretty high on his agenda for the veto session the issue of the consolidation of pension funds, municipal pension funds outside Chicago for a statewide fund for police, a statewide fund for firefighters. Obviously no language yet, but that's product of a task force. Wonder what your feelings are on that.
You know, I'm very open to this concept, and I think that it's for starters, it's something we can do to our pension systems. You know, we still have a massive problem with our state systems, but it's no different with our local police and fire, which are placing a great strain upon municipal governments. So,
and property taxes.
And property taxes, yes. So, right now, there seems to be a conflict, which I hope can be resolved between the police and fire. It's just a governance issue. I've spoken with both sides extensively over the last few weeks. I spoke to the governor yesterday about this, and we'll be meeting in the next few days to discuss this in person. There's a few things. Again, it's always helpful to have a bill. I can't go to my caucus and talk about the
concepts.
I got to do a little bit more than concepts. I got to show them the actual language. There's a few things in there. There's some benefit adjustments that have been raised in which we're looking to see what type of impact they would have upon the systems. Those are things.
The tier two.
Correct. There's a few other ones too, but that is something that my caucus is going to want to know about before they're going to make a decision. So there's a little work to do. I don't anticipate that this is a week that we will take up, at least in the House, consolidation. It doesn't mean that we won't address that in a week and a half. A lot can happen during that short amount of time, but I think if you can bridge the gap with police and fire, and now we're just talking about investment.
There's a lot of misconceptions about even speaking conceptually, and again, yes, absent the language, but the discussion, there's been a lot of misconceptions.
There sure has, and I've received those calls, those emails. There is going to be no type of benefit reduction at all in this system.
It has nothing to do with benefits.
Absolutely not. And I think, as we talked earlier, whether or not there's going to have an impact on IMRF, it isn't. Not at all. This is strictly consolidating the funds for investment purposes to get a better rate of return, better, so your investment decisions, we think, will be more sound.
Lowering the fees to investment
that
advisors.
Has been raised, too. You've got just, it's a cottage industry, and look, I'm all for capitalism, but I think we can do a better job at this point since our municipalities are drowning. And this is what the Illinois Municipal League is very, very strongly in support of. Our caucus, I believe, is generally, without seeing the language, that I think that we can put votes on this thing if we believe that this is going to be fair at the end of the day. It's going to help these local governments. And but again, we don't want to be in the middle of a match between the FOP and the firefighters. And
right.
And I think that can get done.
And but the firefighters do support this.
They do.
FOP.
FOP is not supportive, and it strictly is about the structure of the board, the investment board, and it's on, as I said, over governance. If there is, I mean, I you know, there's been some discussion of taking FOP out of it and strictly being a fire consolidation bill. You know, if that's what we have to do, I'm clearly open to that.
And leave police out.
And we can deal with that. And I think that over the years we've seen that where there's some catch up at the end. You can kind of work things out. But I'm interested in reforming our pensions. And I wish we can do more. We have to do more. This is a good start. Nothing more than a start. But we've, you know, and I think we've talked a lot about the five systems over the past many years. The state systems. But we have not talked about the local funds, which are the ones that which you see more of an effect upon the day-to-day lives of people who live in the suburbs in downstate Illinois, because it is crippling the, you know, the basic services that municipalities have traditionally afforded their citizens.
We've gotten a couple of phone calls about the issue of the proposed insulin rate cap. Relaying
sure.
Because this is something that State Senator Andy Menar, Democrat from Bunker Hill, has been talking about, and as something to look at for veto session.
It is an issue that is worth discussing, but again, I think that when it is a major policy change for any government to get into the whole idea of regulating the price of something in the open market. It's easy to say, and it's a populist thing to say, that we're going to cap insulin because some people are not getting access to it. They're rationing their insulin for people who are type 1, type 2 diabetics. I know a little bit about this. I know a lot about it because my daughter is a juvenile diabetic. And access to insulin and to drugs is never easy. But I do know this, and I've spent some time personally, and I know I've talked to many people within the industry, that there is a number of opportunities for people to take advantage of, to be able to access
discounts.
And so I think it's not as easy to say that, you know, we need to cap it at $100 a month on individuals. I don't like to get into regulation of prices. I want to make sure that people are aware of what the availability of insulin is on the market, and people need to avail themselves to insulin at a fair price for particularly middle income, low income individuals. So it's not that easy of a system to
snap your fingers.
You can't do that. And I think just saying it is, again, it's a populist theme. It should be developed more. And I'm very interested in finding more ways to help low-income individuals, people who have not had opportunities to access, you know, Novolog or Humalog, to give them the opportunity to find ways in which they can have a reduced cost out of their pocket for insulin. But I can't say that I agree with the senator at the moment that there is this great problem out there when there are opportunities that are currently in place for people to take advantage of, to use for discounted cost of insulin. Let's study it. Let's not make it a veto session issue. There are long-term effects that I think we have to be careful of if we're going to get into the business of regulating the cost of medicine. Not only that, but it is an interstate commerce issue. You know, look, I mean, these are great, but this is something we often talk about, oh, someone's going to sue about this. But I will tell you, there will be a lawsuit against this if the state of Illinois gets into the business of regulating the price of medicine and also other products.
That's State Representative Jim Durkin, the Illinois House Republican leader. Leader Durkin, thank you for joining me.
Rick, thank you, and have a great afternoon.
You too, and have a great veto session. Although maybe not as productive a one.
I understand. You bet.